All right, let's open our Bibles back into the first epistle of John. And last week, brothers and sisters, as we entered this first chapter, and we left off in verse 2, y'all remember, oh no, we might get through verse 3 tonight, no. But John personally introduced us, first-hand knowledge, didn't he? He had first-hand knowledge, praise be to God, in hearing and seeing and looking upon and handling our wondrous Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And under that wondrous extreme anointing of the Holy Spirit, John is speaking to saints everywhere and in every age that Jesus is real. Jesus is real. I'm grateful to God that we know that. And so personally, intimately, in so many mighty ways too, these last couple weeks have been amazing how real Jesus is. Whether it's the healing of our little brother the last couple days. There was a lady, I didn't mention this, that was brought into the church a couple weeks back. And I'd never seen anybody that had an evil spirit that way. Never seen it. I'm not going to say I hope I don't see it again, because I want to be in the will of God. But that's a unique thing. And we were able to pray for her. Brother Kev was with me. And she was completely a Spanish speaker. And in about 5 minutes of praying, that dear thing started calling on the name of Jesus. So, Jesus is real. And it's just wonderful. And how exciting. And how the perfect love of God casts out all fear. He really does. And greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. And He's alive. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Brother John told us in the book of John and in this epistle as he starts out that very God of very God became a man. And He died upon the cross for us. All right? So, as we go on here to verse 3, we're going to continue in that thinking. And let's go ahead and read the third verse of the first chapter of the first epistle of John. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, He's emphasizing again from verse 1, if you remember, the very first thing He says, that we have heard. And we're going to hear that word heard again throughout this text. But it all begins with hearing. Nothing will ever change in your life with Jesus Christ until you hear the Word of God. And a lot of times, even after we accept Him as Savior, our life seems to be stagnant. And a lot of times when it's stagnant, it's because we're not hearing Him. His sheep know His voice. His sheep hear His voice. But we have to want to listen. And want to listen to His voice. Not want to listen to my desires or the things that I want to hear. And let me tell you something. The enemy will line up a lot of people to tell you the things that you think you want to hear. But I'm going to tell you something. Have an ear that is attentive to the things of God. Have an ear that's attentive to the things of God, because faith comes one way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We know that. And you'll always find something about God's best listeners. There's one thing that's a trait in all of them. They remain still and know that He is God. And that's the ones that have great faith. The ones that truly can, the peace of God can cause them to be still and to know that He is God. Now, the real theme for the rest of this first chapter is so important to really understand this each one of these verses in its context. This first chapter, many people have taken out of context and tried to distort and turn things. And if you've ever witnessed to too many people in your life, if you have, you're going to run into ones that will try to use 1 John for legality, that you can lose your salvation. lots of different things. But again, when you read the Word of God, know who's speaking, know what's being spoken about, and who's being spoken to. So that means you really have to know, truly, the whole context of the meaning of the passage. And the whole context and the meaning of this first chapter truly is fellowship. It's fellowship and communion with Jesus Christ. It's not regarding here about salvation, it's fellowship. And as John talks about here, sure, it's fellowship with John, but this is really fellowship with the Godhead. And the reason that it is so vital, brothers and sisters, is because of verse 4. And these things, it says in verse 4, write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Not just a joy, but a full joy is what this is talking about. A complete joy. A joy that has nothing wanting in it. It's finished joy. And as I read this, doesn't it kind of call out to you, grow up? Really, be finished. Let Him complete you. Let Him be the overflowing blessing in your life. See, a fully matured, ever-expanding vessel is one that is filled with the love, the grace, and the knowledge of God. The fullness that it's talking about here is the joy unspeakable. Listen to that. It's the joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's not just a race course that is finished, but it's a race course that is finished with joy. It's important. I think of so many God's precious people that know the Word, and they could recite you a lot of Scripture, but they don't have any joy. And where does joy come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we need to have a life that is open to truly the continuing infilling of the Holy Spirit. The joy unspeakable and full of glory, if we're missing that, you're missing worship, you're missing praise in your life. We can call out to Him walking through the fire. We can call out to Him and praise Him and be joyful even in the valley of the shadow of death. I saw that going on in a family and in parents, and especially in that daddy. As his son was there, truly in the valley of the shadow of death, and it wasn't anything put on. There was a wondrous joy. There was a peace that sustained that brother. Full confidence in the ability of his loving Father and in a Savior that gave His life for him. That nothing's hard for God. That God is in complete control of this situation. Jesus is real. That's all I can testify to today. I know nothing more than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Praise be to God. And as you think about this finished and full joy, brothers and sisters, it really is a high calling encouragement throughout this wonderful text here. So as we approach verses 5 through 7, I want us to really keep in mind the theme of this first chapter is fellowship. Think fellowship. So let's go ahead and read verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him. Oh, there's that word again. Heard of Him. And declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now this is pretty straightforward. We listen to His voice, we hear it. And what is His voice? It's His Word. And you know what He gives us? He gives us faith. Isn't that wonderful? See, if you'll listen to the Word of God and apply it to your life, and hear it and believe it is what this hearing is talking about, the Word of God will work effectually in you. As you've heard me say, it won't be just a sign or a moniker upon your wall. It'll be something that actually is written across your heart. Lord, I believe. Lord, Romans 8:28 is real to me. When you said that you'll perfect that which concerns me, I'm going to go with that. I'm going to be believing in that. It is. It is what holds me. It's the rock that is higher than I, that I stand upon. God, I believe you. So praise His name. And here's what He said. God is light. God is light. Not sometimes. Not partly. But is and always is. And see the wonderful thing about our Lord and that light, what it's talking about? There's no confusion. Confusion is unbelief, brothers and sisters. It's something that's trying to mess with the light. Well, nothing messes with the light. The light is the light. And I think it's so evident, even in the sun that God has given us, it's always there. It always shines. The only time it's ever dark on this earth is when it turns away. But the other side of the earth is getting some sun too, so praise God. The light is always the light. It just works that way. God has given us so many types and shadows of this light. But this light that it's talking about here, it refers to all truth and knowledge. That's what it is in the Greek. The power of understanding. And let me tell you something. When you believe God, you have power. Because you understand that He is. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I told you the other day, I'm so grateful to Him. We ask for wisdom. We pray for wisdom. But I appreciate Brother Peter's testimony. Lord, move it to another level. Lord, Thou knowest. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that awesome to really think? That, Lord, I don't just pray for wisdom for me. I know You know. Let that mind be in me that was also in Christ Jesus. What's He talking about? I'm talking about faith. Talking about really believing God. The very power of His might. He's given that to you. Christ in me. And Christ lives in me. Christ lives in you. And praise be to God, I want Him to bust out all over. How about you? All over. Absolute confidence. Absolute boldness. That He is for me. I am favored. Not because of anything I did. But grace. Just the grace of God. And you know what? I'll take it. And if you don't want it, He's still going to give it. But you'll feel a lot better if you'll take it. So, here's this light. And I appreciate this light because it's not for judgment. This isn't the light of judgment. It really isn't. It's for His children. It's healing. It really is. It's a healing. It's a feeding light. And again, I go back to our sun, and you think about really what our sun does for our world. It makes things grow, all that photosynthesis, all of that kind of stuff, how it heals things. And that is our Lord. I mean, He just is a healer. And it says so clearly here, in Him is no darkness. So you know what? Any darkness that we're experiencing, it's not because of Him. It's because of me. It's because where I'm going. And where I'm going in unbelief, because that is what is always going to be produced in unbelief, is darkness, chaos, confusion. The enemy loves that. He wants to put me in that, in a sense, that room or whatever you want to call it, all the time. And God allows him to tempt, so God can always show Himself faithful. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. That's how it works. All right, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. We lie and do not the truth. See, here's the walk. And the walk is the way or our manner of life. It's our testimony. It's the walk. It's not the talk anymore. It's who you really are. It's, are you manifesting by the grace of God? Is that light manifested in your life? Is it pouring out? Are you a beacon, truly, of the things, and especially the love of God? And as I read this verse, I thought how many times over and over I've heard people say, oh, brother, I'm trusting God. I'm believing God for this, and I know I'm right where I need to be. Yet, you know what? That person's life is nowhere near a walk in the will of God. See, if you're standing in, or if you're having fellowship with and continuing to walk in the darkness of sin, we don't really have fellowship with the Godhead. We don't. This is what this is getting at. Fellowship. In Him there is no darkness. We need this fellowship. Look, God doesn't lie. It says that it's impossible for Him to lie. And it says here that in Him there is no darkness. So the only one that's lying is you. Amen? I've been there. I know this. Praise God, He's convicted my heart. We're going to talk about a convicted heart in a minute if He tarry. And if our lives speak of darkness, we're simply not living the truth. That's what it's saying here. If we will live the truth, brothers and sisters, that light is wonderful. It's just magnificent. And you know it. And praise God, I'm so thankful that God has shown me what that is and how wonderful it is to truly walk in that light. And brothers and sisters, this is to Christians. Paul is saying here, we, including himself, a child of the King. And yes, God's children have a choice every day. Are we going to serve God or are you going to serve mammon? You choose it every day. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And it can be tough. It is going to be tough. The Lord was dealing with me. And I finally was laying there and I said, you know, Lord, the will of God is never easy. He said, you're right, son. That's why you need me. It's never going to happen without me. You can never do it. You can have all the desire, all the want, all the willpower. But if you do not yield, son, if you don't treasure the Word, think how many times our dear pastor, and these are the words of life. This is it. This is who you are. God help us to settle down in fellowship with one another and in this Word as husband and wife. This is my treasure. I'm understanding that. This is who feeds me. This is my provider. This is my shield and my buckler and my strength. Praise God. Learn to go to it always. Not just in troubled times. Joyful times. It makes them better. It does. It's awesome. Having a hard time. This is the pick-me-upper of pick-me-uppers. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isn't that wonderful? Man. These are the promises of very God. And praise His name. Help us not to want to deny or refuse any of it. Hallelujah. So, this is telling us that are we going to live the truth or not? And not just some of it, brothers and sisters. This is a pressing here. I really believe that, praise be to God, we're living in a time of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And as Brother Paul said, however Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice. So basically what he's saying there, whatever you get, I'm happy for. But we live in the age of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. These are bridal times. These are bridal times. And this joy that he's talking about here is a full joy. And we need to be serious to receive it. It's not time to play around. It's time to get serious about the things of God. To tend upon the things of the Lord without distraction. This world wants to distract us in any and every way it can. And whenever things take your mind or my thoughts off the things of God, I'm being robbed. I am. Those idols of the world start to get in front of my full joy. I still have joy, but it's not a full joy. And this is what he's talking about, is this fullness of communion and fellowship with Jesus Christ. All right, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is precious. This is Proverbs 4:18. You might just write that down and I'll go ahead and read you the verse. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the just is as the shining light. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Isn't that wonderful? See, you get brighter and brighter. You do. As you seek the Lord, The path gets brighter and brighter. And it truly does. Praise be to God. Because as we've been reading and rejoicing in, we have been made before to display the very glory of God. That's what you were made for. You weren't made for anything else. He loved you. And praise be to God, He created us to display the glory of God. Aren't you thankful He's called you to that? People wonder what their will and their purpose is in life. And I think it's so summed up so easily. He said, I would that all men be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. There it is. That's your purpose. Everybody's. Mine. That's the calling of the Lord upon our life. Now, I don't need to go find it. He'll reveal it. Praise God. I seek Him and I find those things. It's true. We don't need to, in a sense, there's not a working here. There's a yielding. We yield to Him. And He reveals. Because He's faithful. And He will perfect and finish. And praise be to God, we'll grow into the image of Him from glory to glory. Now, because we've been made to display His glory, when we take it and run with it, Christ in us becomes the hope of glory. And we realize that. The bride adorned having the glory of God, it says in Revelation. And then we have fellowship one with another. Aren't you thankful for the fellowship we have? The fellowship in the blood of Jesus. That's the fellowship we have. That cleanses us from all sin. We live and breathe the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus, and we rejoice in that with one another. That's the rejoicing. I pray that God has our thoughts tonight, and that's where we need to be, not just in a church, but we need to be in the body. You were in that body, but be in tune with that body tonight. That's why we're here. Praise be to God. He has been faithful to call you, to draw you tonight to His Word, to come into fellowship. It just, I hope, God, that we're grateful in that. I really do. All right, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, could you imagine? We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So basically, if we say we don't have sin. Now, this is those Gnostics that we had talked about last week. And those are the ones, just like the ones we have today, brothers and sisters, they're about us today, that state things like, all mankind is inherently good. That there are many paths to enlightenment. That God is love, and therefore because God is so loving, there could never be a hell. That there really is no, I love this one, there's really no right or wrong. It's just how you perceive it. And what you need to do is you need to just go on and trust that inner feeling. And when you get that burning feeling, I mean really burning, it is heartburn, amen. I'm getting old enough to understand. When you get that burning feeling, they say, it'll lead you know? Well, I'll tell you what, it will lead you. It'll lead you right to hell if you don't accept I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And that's the truth. And I don't say that in a mean way. I say that in the absolute loving way. Lord doesn't want you to be there. Lord doesn't want you to go there. It's the Word of God. And we better do away with what we feel and what we think, because it'll always get you in trouble. Just go with the Word. Go with the Word. I've made many a mistake. Stepping out of the things of God. And that is stepping out of the will. When you step out of His Word. And try to go it in your own strength. So. You see, by saying that we have no sin. So simply what we're saying is we have no need of Christ. Do you see that? When you say you have no sin. You're saying that you have no need of Christ. For one to accept Christ Jesus as Savior. You must realize your sin. You must realize your guilt. You must realize, as the Word of God says, that we were born in sin, shapen in iniquity, that there is none righteous, no, not one. That I have a need, Lord. And only the shedding of your dear Son's blood is the only thing that's going to cleanse me. And that's how easy it is. I believe you're my Lord. Hallelujah. I'm cleansed. I believe in that shed blood was for me. Sure, it was for everybody. But I got to take it for me. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. So grateful to God that we realize that need. But notice here what it says in that 8th verse. It says, we deceive ourselves. We can't blame this on anybody else. Uh-uh. Nope. It's on you. Now, we live in a world of it's everybody's fault but mine. We live at a time that man has made an excuse and a reason for everything. Every failure. Every sin. But it wasn't your fault. You're deceiving yourself. He's all knowledge to you. Did you know that? He's all wisdom. You have all the power. You have all these things. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. I fail many times every single day. And I do. I do. I need Him. Now, I know if you traveled around with me and were with me most of the time, you'd say, what are you talking about? I know what lies within here. I know how quickly in unbelief this vessel can go. But I also know how immediate faith is. And how faithful my Lord is. And I call out His name. And I just say, Lord, help me. And you know what? He helps me every single time. See, that's the God. That's the God by grace I serve. So we can't blame this on anyone. Man is without excuse. I want you to read Romans 1 with me. I think we have a little time. Let's turn over to Romans 1. Let this sink in just a little bit. We go over to Romans 1 often, don't we? So much just in that first wonderful chapter about how wicked. Got to continue to remind us. Got to understand. Let's go over to verse 21. You talk about man is without excuse. And this talking about man. Because that when they knew God, they knew Him. They glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Okay. Now, sin is no respecter of person. I've seen this, obviously, within the context of this, to the sinner. And I've also seen it with Christians that have become wise in themselves and get led away. And it's the truth. And we need to understand that. We stand on the Word. We don't stand on our knowledge, our strength, how long I've been going to church, how many generations of my family were Christians, how wonderful I can stir up a whole mess of people and get them excited, that I'm a leader. God forbid. God forbid we ever take our eyes off of Jesus. That He's the one. And praise God, it's Him that we praise. And it's Him that we magnify. And it's Him that enables us to even speak one word of praise. It's His grace. For me to even think about Him, it had to be a gift of God. To say, thank you, Lord. He had to die upon that cross for me to ever do that. Amen. Oh my. To be a thankful people. But here is truly a sad thing is they choose this. And when we choose not to yield to God, we have no one else to point the blame at but ourselves. I want you to know that. Absolutely. We can blame, well, my family didn't treat me right. I had a teacher in second grade that just destroyed me. I'm telling you, you can find yourself a psychiatrist that will find something. And I'm not trying to make light of it. I know a lot of people have had a lot of hard lives. Don't get me wrong. But we're without excuse. We are. And you know the beautiful thing is it took every single thing that you had to go through in your entire life. The mom that you were given or didn't have, the dad you were given or didn't have, the home that you were given or didn't have, to bring you to this place tonight. Where could you be? How many people would I ask you are in a Bible study tonight? And a Bible study where people truly are wanting the truth. Not here to give you entertainment. I'm not sure I really could. But I know one thing He can do. He can enable me to give you the Word of God. And I believe that you want it. And so we've gathered here in His name tonight. And so I know He's faithful to deliver. Okay? So it's not that I don't have compassion. I want you to know that. I'm sorry, in a sense, for every heartache. My heart hurts for you. But I understand the plan of the Word of God. It takes every one of those very heartaches to get you to a point where you are in complete need. And you better be in complete need of Jesus tonight. Because if you're not, I feel sorry for you. Because you still have a long way to go. You got to need Him for everything. The next breath you're going to draw, you need Him for that. You need Him for tomorrow if you wake up. Just to go to work. To be a friend. To be a spouse. To be a dad. To be a mom. To be a child. And I mean that under the right hand of God. Yeah. Okay. What purpose we have. But the saddest part here about this verse 8, if you really see what it says here, let's go back here to 1 John, in that it says, the truth is not in us. God forbid the truth would not be in us. Really. And many legalists will try to jump on this and say, well, see, the truth can depart from you. Well, I want to bring your thoughts back to remember what this is about. Fellowship, right? Fellowship. Let's keep the theme of what he's saying. Fellowship with God and His Son. And this follows the same thing. The truth here, when it says the truth is not in you, what it means is biblical teachings. It's not talking about the Word or Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, He's there to stay. Praise be to God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. When He said an incorruptible seed, that's exactly what He said. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a seed that could be corrupted. He didn't say, I'm going to give you an incorruptible seed, but I'm going to take it away if something happens. He gave you the incorruptible. And you know what incorruptible means? Just exactly what it says. It can't be corrupted. What's so hard to understand about that? When He said, I give you everlasting life, we're going to study by the grace of God on Sunday about the length of His love. You know what everlasting and that length has in common? It has no end. It can't stop. What can't you get about that? I didn't give you contingent everlasting life. Temporal everlasting. You see, it would have been an oxymoron, wouldn't it have? But that's, unfortunately, what a lot of God's people try to make out of it. And that's why, unfortunately, a lot of God's precious people don't have peace. How could you have peace when you think that you could be separated from the love of God? See, that's what perfect peace is all about. That's what full joy is all about, is understanding that He loves you and He will always love you. It's where it all begins. And that it kind of, it's the multiplier effect all the time, because it's where it all begins and continues to multiply from, doesn't it? And just grows greater and greater. And that's what God does. But as we talk about this, this isn't talking about The Word, this is talking about biblical teachings. Christians sure can, unfortunately, and they do depart from biblical teachings. Did you know that? Can you imagine that? I know people that had been under this message for many, many years that have nothing to do with it anymore. That have turned to religions that would make your hair stand up. Fall out. I don't know what it would do to it. And I don't say that jokingly. It's sad. And they can blame it upon a lot of things. But you have no one to blame but yourself. I want to be an encouragement, though. You understand? God forbid I'd ever do anything against the truth, like Brother Paul said. But if you turn away, you can't blame me, no matter what I did. Because it's God that remains faithful. All right? So just know that. Take that. Take it to heart. All right? So we need to take these teachings to heart and live them. And this is an important time, brothers and sisters, to live the teachings of the Lord, because Jesus is coming. As we say, it's not time to get ready. It's time to be ready. And Brother Paul had that all throughout his epistles. And John, even though he's not offered this same place, by the grace of God was encouraged to the Holy Spirit to be offering that same message. Be ready. That's what this Holy Spirit is preaching here. Be ready. Don't be led away in this stuff. Have a full joy, overflowing. Be ready for the coming of Jesus. Don't be asleep. I appreciated that prayer. My dear brother over here. Lord, don't let us be a part of that sleepy body. I'm waiting for that thief to come. How about you? I'm going to surprise him. Well, nothing will surprise him, but praise be to God. I want to be there right when that day begins. How about you? The glory dawning morning, right when it starts, to say, Jesus, I'm home. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. You caused me to believe this wonderful message. The great faith that it took for this day and age to truly believe that you're not just coming again, but you're coming again, you're appearing first will be for your bride. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your wondrous name. Let's not be neglectful to be the true worshiper who worships in spirit and in truth. And that's why we need this truth to be in us, right? Because to be a true worshiper that God is seeking at this time, worships in spirit and in truth. And if the truth is not in us, if we're not living of the truth as Christians, we're going to be in a sad predicament. Amen. All right, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, the distortion of this verse, I want you to know truly, is a founding pillar of many confused religions. And I think you know what I'm talking about. But yet when you just read it in context, and you read it with the nurturing of the Holy Ghost, it's a simple message. And I bring you back again, it's all about fellowship. This is all about fellowship. We know that our sins are already forgiven. And they're not only forgiven, they're never to be remembered again. Amen? Is that not what the Word of God told us? Does the Word of God contradict itself? No, it does not. And this is not talking about what so many try to say, well, you have to confess your sin in order for it to be forgiven. That's not the Word of God, and that is not what this is even remotely talking about. It's talking about fellowship. It's talking about heart attitude with God. It's talking about communion with Him. It's talking about a heart that is tendered. It's talking about a heart, brothers and sisters, that's repentant toward the Lord. It's a heart that has remorse and sorrow and cries out to God. It's a heart that we need. It's a heart that is not hardened. It's a heart that does not go around and have no trouble with sinning. I want to have a conscience. I want God to convict me. And I want Him to convict me quickly. That when I start to stray, when I start to go in a dark manner, it's immediately, and son, you don't want to go that way. You're hurting me. I love you. I supplied the grace for you. The victory has already been won. Come on. I want you to have this. I've given it to you. You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. There isn't anything missing. You have the whole armor of God. Come on. I'm showing you, and I appreciate this with my Lord. I know He allows me to fail. But it's in that failure He comes in so quickly. I'm always faithful. I'm always faithful. I'm always calling you back, honey. I haven't moved. I haven't moved. I'm right here. I'm right here. I still have you. I'm right here. You're just turned away from me, honey. I'm right here. Everything's okay. You got distracted. I remember when I was a little guy. My sister's back there, and I, poor thing, she had to probably hold me too many times for this one. But do you remember when the air raid sirens used to go on? And because we were going to get bombed or something? I don't know. I'm not making light of that. Someday it's inevitably going to happen. People don't understand that, but whatever. When they said that the earth rocked to and fro like a drunken man, let me tell you something. Something's going off here someday. Well, when that air raid siren would go off, this little feller didn't like it. And I don't care if I was in your arms, I'd start me screaming. It made me fear. Now, I had that one that was there to comfort, whether it was my sister, my mom, my grandma. But the problem was, I was paying attention to what was going on out there instead of paying attention to who I was with. Who loved me? Nothing changed. I was still in the arms of that one that was going to hold me and protect me, giving me all the comfort. And I do remember being a little guy after I'd squawk and holler and all those different things, that finally I'd look right back into the face of that one that was probably a little irritated at that time. Thanks be to God, he doesn't. But then I'd just settle down, realize that I was still in them arms, and there was no harm. See? He's even dealing with me when I was a little guy. Lord's always after us. I'm telling you, we just need to pay attention. But see, this remorseful and this sorrowful heart was so revealed in David, brothers and sisters. And you think about after that year of hardness. Remember when he hardened his heart? He didn't have fellowship with God during that time. What a sad time for him. He didn't. And finally, he says, "Before thee and thee only have I sinned." And what was so precious? He entered into the house of God and he worshiped. Taken care of just like that. It wasn't that God still didn't love him. It wasn't anything of that. But the fellowship wasn't there. Because he was hardened. He was prideful in himself. Well, I'm going to take care of this, God. I don't need to be remorseful for what I did. I've heard people say, "Oh, well, I've got the grace of God." Well, you do have the grace of God. But are you living the grace of God? You know what the grace of God does? It causes your heart to call out to him and say, "Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I was wrong." What do you think of that? You know, for a lot of people, that's hard. Because of your dirty self-righteousness. Because you think that you're too holy maybe to actually fail. You better know who you are. And you better have a repentant heart real quick. Because Jesus is coming. And I know it's going to be a tender heart that wins him. So in that infinite grace, we say he's cleansed me from all sin. It's a heart that he's allowed to fail, but he cleanses me. And praise be to God, it's the righteousness that he's already given me. I live, and God helps me to understand that it's pure grace and nothing but grace. And praise God how good he is. And let's hurry up and finish this 10th verse, and we'll get on out of here. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So here he is reminding us again that we all are sinners in need of him, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. that there's none righteous, there's no not one, that we all needed the cleansing blood, and I'm going to just go to the Word of God and say it's impossible for the Lord to lie. So whether I call him a liar or you do, it didn't matter. He's not, because he's never lied. But you know, if we want to go that way, isn't this verse so true to its word? It says the word is not in you. And it's really implying back to the same thing we just read in a couple verses ago. This isn't that it's Christ, the word, that it's talking about. It's not talking about Christ departing from us. It's again those biblical teachings, the sayings of God. Remember when we were studying that sweet book of Thessalonians? And it talked about the tradition. Remember the word tradition? What a wonderful thing that was. That wasn't what the family passed down from generation to generation to generation. Uh-uh. It was Paul's gospel. It was Paul's gospel. And we need to hold that dear. You don't realize the treasure we have. That's the greatest thing that God could have ever given. He gave us that message that we can win Christ. And this is what he's saying here. That we need to hold the Word of God more dear than anything there is. Because there's nothing more dear than the Word of God. There's nothing more important than the Word of God. And this is talking about those biblical teachings. And as you go, I'd like you to write down these three verses as I read them to you. Psalm 18:28. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. Isn't that wonderful? Search me, O Lord, if there be any wicked way in me. Huh? Lead me in the way everlasting. David battled with that, didn't he? Praise be to God. 2 Timothy 2:19. Listen to this one. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Aren't you thankful of that? Glad you didn't build it. I'll get right in front of you. Having this seal, oh my, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Oh, what a call. If you nameth the name of Christ, praise God, you profess that name, you have the power and the strength and the calling to depart from sin. Isn't that wonderful? And let us not forget Romans 6:12, Brother Paul. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Something's reigning over us, brothers and sisters, isn't there? Amen? You're serving somebody. Praise be to God. I believe you're on a good track. You're at a Bible study tonight. I'd keep on it. I'd keep on it. If you're here because you're weak tonight, praise be to God. If you're here because he's made you strong tonight, praise be to God. I just say praise be to God that in his faithfulness, he's causing us to love his word. And aren't you grateful for that? Amen. All right, let's stand and be dismissed.